Handel came in, and you guys were filling in for him. Why?
We filled in for him Monday and Tuesday because he was out of town. Then Wednesday, we took a day off and went
skiing. I got you. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know who's... I just don't know who's getting suspended around there anymore. Tim and Neil, you know, you guys. I'm the only guy that hasn't been... You know that I'm the only one that hasn't been suspended from that radio station? And the crap that we... Never, never have I been disciplined in that way. Yeah, it must be, because we pull some stuff that... well, no, actually, it's fairly benign. And you got... Yeah, that's right, you haven't been either. You're right. What was the thing I heard out in front of the radio station with the lesbian protesters?
Oh, the
I was on vacation.
All we said is we really love Ken Christensen. That's all we said. You know, I'll tell you what we said, Phil, because it was on all the news stations.
Right.
They told the gay activists they were stupid to give Laura all that publicity.
Yeah, you know, there's a huge internet site that these gay people set up, spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on websites, and it's called Defeat Dr. Laura.
Do you know a lesbian got through on her show today?
Really?
Yeah, and here's what happened. Here's what happened. She says, "Yes, Dr. Laura," and she had one of those husky kind of dykish voices, but I don't want... Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Laura, my husband, she was talking about her husband, and he's not paying enough attention to her, and blah, 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 blah. And Dr. Laura's going, well, you know, you sound like some kind of a creep, so why would he want to pay attention to you, yada, yada. And she says, well, my husband, I call her my husband, she's actually a female, because she had said, Dr. Laura said, well, she said, well, I would expect women to act better. And Dr. Laura said, well, what's that got to do with your marriage? Well, my husband is a woman. And so... Laura, I gotta tell you, she handled it like a pro. She immediately put the woman on hold, continued on with her rap about how she shouldn't expect so much from a marriage as you do from dating, yada yada yada. But you could tell she'd put her on hold, and then she went to a break, and it was smooth, it was beautiful, and she, I'm telling you, yeah. And then she fired her producer, and then anyway. Go ahead, yeah. Right, yeah. Matter of fact. They hate me.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686 and 1-800-520-1KFI. By the way, I'm going to be featured. Remember, we've been talking about this. We've been waiting for it. And the day is fast approaching. March 25th, my interview in Girl Talk Magazine hits the stands across America. Girl Talk Magazine, you can find it there at Tower Records and some other fine establishments, some various esplanades in the area. March 25th edition of Girl Talk Magazine, I'm interviewed there. It is a cross-dresser magazine. We're very proud to be in it. And let's just move on. Ruth in Anaheim. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Ruth in Anaheim. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You know, we know who you, actually what Mike wrote, you know who you are. Please stop calling? Yeah, that's right. Please stop calling the 5201-KFI number. Ruth in Anaheim, please stop calling 1-800-521-KFI. Our new number, dear, is 1-800-449-8686, okay? That's why you haven't been able to get through, dear. That's why you haven't been able to talk to Phil. You've been calling the old KFI number, all right? Ruth in Anaheim. Okay, went out looking for satellite dish power, went out looking for satellite dish installation. And it was interesting today because I called up a famous satellite installer, making a little noise these days, making some waves. A lot of people are interested in them. Called him up. I got a number in Madison, Wisconsin. The woman says to me, "Yes, sir, can I help you?" "Yeah, I've heard so much about your installation. If I buy the equipment, will you guys install us?" "Where are you buying the equipment?" Well, I think I'm going to get it at Costco. Watch out, pal. Watch out for those guys. Watch out for that equipment. I said, well, look, I'm not calling you for advice on what equipment to buy. I just want to know how long, click. She hung up on me. I said, I think she hung up on me. So I called back. I said, yeah, I think you just click. I called back. I said, wait a second. I click. I mean, so I finally get this guy on the phone, and he says to me, who do you think you are? I said, I'm just a guy looking for some service around here. What have I called? Well, you've called the Madison, Wisconsin deal. I said, well, I couldn't care less. Are you the guys? Well, no, we have no affiliation with them. And then as I talked to him, well, yeah, we sort of do. And then finally, he gave me their 800 installation number, because I had the one in Madison, Wisconsin, and I said, I demand somebody around there be fired. I don't know who, because I just wanted to be a general pain in the ass, because I was angry. And he said, yeah, we'll fire somebody. I said, great. It doesn't have to be the woman that hung up on me. Just anybody will do. How about yourself? He said, great. So then I called the I called the national number. I talked to this guy. He says to me, yes, sir, we do this and that. You can buy your equipment at Costco, and then we'll install it for you. And it's $59 for additional box. I said, how long before you can come out when I place my order? 3 weeks, sir. Do you have the NFL package? And then this guy launches into, I guess, something that they write down. No, sir, we do not have the NFL package. It is currently being litigated. The NFL is just hurting themselves by not letting us have it. And then, and well, you know what I did? Click. So then I called DirecTV. $4.99 for the additional boxes. Installation's free if I buy my crap at Kmart, and it's 72 hours to get it installed. Guess who I'm going with? Well, I haven't made up my mind, but...
Phil Hendry Show coming down the line in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3...
The Phil Hendry Show. Previously on The Phil Hendry Show... Here is Philadelphia on The Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, I can't really express my righteous anger at this ignorant asshole that you have on there.
I'm an asshole.
You certainly are. You're
teaching kids how to shoot a gun.
Wait a minute. You're teaching kids how to use guns. What makes you think they're going to not graduate to a real gun and kill somebody?
Well, you ought to
gun safety.
Gun safety. The adults haven't taught. We can't teach the adults gun safety.
Oh, be quiet. You're
we
so
can't
damn
teach
stupid.
The adults. Oh, I'm stupid? Have you keeping the guns out of your grandkids' hands?
I don't have
people?
A gun out. I wouldn't own one.
All right.
And you're
well,
one of those
stupid
gun control
people.
Freaks.
No,
you're
I'm not.
One of those people
no, I'm not. No,
you're
I'm not.
The one
I'm
of those
not in the gun
favor. You're in favor of guns.
We got to teach
you
them how to shoot it good.
That gun lobby.
Do you know who Wyatt Earp is?
Yeah, he was a lawman.
Okay, do you know what a two-gun rig is?
I don't care what it is. It's
all right, you should
weapon,
know more about...
It's a weapon that'll kill people.
You don't know nothing about guns. You don't know nothing about guns.
Are you crazy putting out this propaganda?
No, you don't know nothing about guns.
Shoot?
You've got to teach them how to shoot good, otherwise...
Why do you bother with guns? Guns kill people. You think they're going to stay with a harmless gun?
Hey, they're already getting guns.
Gun?
They're already getting guns.
Well,
I'm teaching them how to use them good.
How about if you outlawed guns?
We teach the kids outlaw guns. The Constitution of the United States says you got a right to have a gun.
Oh, go to
you're a moron. You're a, are you from where? Are you from Philadelphia?
Jesus,
that figures. That figures. I'm from New York.
That figure. You're insane.
Everybody that's good in Philly moves to New York.
Everybody that's Henry, I'd throw you off the air so quick.
Well, you ain't Phil Henry, is you?
Teaching kids how to shoot, you bastard.
No, I'm teaching kids gun safety.
Oh, gun safety. What's a 5-year-old kid doing with a gun?
I don't know. Some adult.
Left in you?
If
are
that
you
kid
paid by the somebody that
if
did
that
this?
If that kid
you're
had
insane.
Known gun safety,
you're
that, he wouldn't have shot
crazy.
The gun. Do you know who Quick Draw McGraw is?
What? A gun is a gun, damn it!
I'm talking about gun safety, sir. Do you know who Pat Masters is?
Gun
okay,
safety. So
we
no,
teach the kids how to fire a two-gun rig.
How did that kid get that gun to kill?
That's a good question. But as long as the kid has the gun, he's got to learn how to shoot it good.
But they get a gun.
Quick draw McGraw.
Listen, a gun that
was a famous
used,
guy.
A gun that isn't used never killed anybody.
Well, that's
why
ridiculous.
Don't you blame the parents? Why don't you blame the stupid parents?
World War II, we shot a bunch.
Like you.
World War II, we shot a bunch of guns.
Little kids You're asking little kids to learn how to use guns.
You don't know
you
what
to be thrown out of the country.
I'll tell you what, we've got 7-year-old kids
Listen,
that know how to use
Henry,
a two-gun rig better than
so
you.
Fast.
But you don't know how to use a two-gun rig. And
what the hell's that got to do? It'll kill people.
You're pissed off because you can't walk backwards and fire two guns.
Oh, God.
You know that?
Boy, you're a smart man.
No, sir. No, sir.
You
I
really
am teaching.
You really studied humanity. I really studied the human.
I know what's
the
going on.
Of a human being.
I know what's going on in this country.
Your own head. See what happens.
I know what's going on in this country. And
yeah,
kids are getting guns,
you're one
okay?
of those right-wing. You're one
right
of those right-wing.
A minute ago, I was a gun control guy. Now I'm right-wing.
You are a minute man.
You
That's
don't know
what
you're thinking about. You don't know what you're talking about.
You probably are. You probably believe in Jesus Christ.
You're pissed because a 7-year-old shoots better than you.
Guns are killing people.
Yes, sir.
I agree. Because guns kill people.
I agree with you.
And little kids are doing it.
And we have
and
to find a way.
Your kids would have been. Little
I wish
kids would have done it.
We would have.
Then you know what you're talking about. In fact, I wish one of your little kids would have used it on you.
What are your little kids? You got little kids?
Well, yes, I have.
You got grandkids?
I got grandchildren.
Do
yeah.
they know how to shoot good?
Well, I don't want them to know how to shoot guns. I wish they'd shoot you with it.
Oh, so you're advocating murder?
Yeah, well,
you know something?
Murder you?
I teach kids how to shoot back.
You're advocating murder.
I teach
you're
kids.
Do you know how to make a guy dance?
Our kids know how to make a guy dance.
You think those kids are going to stay and play with play bullets? You're crazy.
They're pellet pistols and pellet pistols.
Get that guy off the air if you have any brain in your head.
The problem with you, like guys like
you, you, is
you don't understand guns and you don't know how to shoot them good.
Well,
but
I don't believe in guns. Guns kill people.
You don't believe in guns?
Well, they never killed a person that wasn't used.
World War II. World War II was won with guns, buddy. Yeah, you were probably slacking. You were slacking.
I'm going to use a word.
You weren't even in the service back in World War II.
Casuistic reasoning.
You were. You're a slacker.
You're an evil.
Were you in the service in World War II or not?
You are. Don't give me those.
Yeah, slacker.
You are an evil influence.
No, sir. I am teaching kids
out of the country. How do you like that?
I'm teaching kids how to.
And you have lots of guns on you.
Shoot backwards and walk backwards.
Then you wouldn't cause anybody any trouble.
You don't know how to use a double gun rig.
I know how to use a gun. How do you like that?
A double gun rig.
Oh,
what I'm talking about.
Hell about it. Good double rig. I bet
you were
going to stop.
Well,
you would think. You think that kid. You
were in the army and you shot yourself.
Why don't you blame you people like you that make guns accessible?
No, sir. I'm saying to the little kids.
You never addressed that issue, did
you? Yes, I did. I did at the very outset. I said that we can't teach the adults. We have to teach the kids.
What the hell do you think they're going to do with them?
Were you in the army and shot yourself? I bet you shot yourself when you were in the army, didn't you?
You shot yourself.
You shot yourself in the foot. Self-inflicted wound, huh?
You're
so you could get out of
it. You're dumber than I thought you were.
I'm dumb, huh? I'm the guy that's got
dumb.
I'm throwing bottles in the air, teaching them how to shoot.
Rifle Association, that big lobby.
What?
And you're probably one of those Minutemen.
I'm a Minuteman, huh?
I bet you are.
That my wife calls me a 60-minute man. What do you think of that?
Oh, go to
and
hell.
I'll tell you something
Why
else.
Don't you, look,
I have been
you don't
all
have
over this country. And
you
I'm
don't
teaching.
Have one modicum of academic
no, sir.
Prowess
no,
at all.
No, sir, I don't think you
you're
understand
no,
what we're up against
man.
In this.
You're a stupid man.
We're up against
Phil,
things in this country.
If you want a program,
do you know how to do a fast
program,
draw?
Left.
You know how to
get that asshole off the air.
All right, well, I've heard you two gentlemen.
Okay, but Phil, this man thinks that
this
I'm evil.
All right, hold on. I want to ask you, Brad, because this man is angry, and I don't blame him because of the murder of this poor child. These two children are victims, the one who shot the gun and the one who was killed by the gun.
Yeah, Phil, what I'm trying to do is teach kids
Hold on. Gentlemen in Philadelphia, hold on. What, Brad?
I'm trying to teach kids how to do a quick draw so they can shoot a bottle.
So they can shoot somebody? What do you think they're going to stick to a bottle? Are you insane? Phil, are you crazy to have this guy on here?
I don't know what
you
mean by
to boost your rating?
I don't know what you mean by shooting a bottle.
I'm saying
he teaches them how to shoot guns.
The kid, if you hold on for a minute, if you just drop your hand to your side,
you're an evil bastard.
And whip
like
the
that.
Gun, whip the gun out of your holster and shoot the
oh,
bottle.
Why do you teach them that? What good's that going
to
do them?
Because if you need to be on the quick draw, if you know how to do
Phil,
a quick draw,
please,
and then you spin the gun around.
Phil,
do you know how to spin a gun around?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
One modicum of decency, you'll get that guy off the mic.
Well, I don't appreciate you, Mr. Rifkin, using the tragedy in Michigan.
I'm just
you
talking
bet.
About spinning the gun around.
You bet.
Do you know how to spin
why
the gun around?
Why do you have him on the air, Phil, to spew this using
the
a
man,
gun?
But he billed himself as a gun safety expert.
He is like hell.
There were a few of my graduates.
He's encouraging people, little kids to use guns. Do you think they're going to keep it to BB guns or stun guns?
Well, I think you're pissed off because you weren't in the Army.
Listen, pissed off because you're insane. And you have an underlying motive for this stuff.
And you never heard of Annie Oakley.
I know all about Annie Oakley.
I know
more about Annie Oakley than you do.
What
has that got to do with teaching kids how to shoot guns?
Mister, I feel sorry for you.
All right.
I have never met a person that's so dumb and stupid as you are.
Thank you for calling.
I am trying to keep my language, and I'm
sorry. Oh, yeah, you've done a real good job with it, too.
And I'll bet you any money. I'll bet you any money you call yourself a Christian. I'll bet any money.
No, I'm a Jew.
Well, then you're a disgrace to the Jews.
Really?
You're an absolute disgrace to that loving kind of culture.
I wouldn't say they're loving.
You think rabbis go around and agree with you?
Yeah.
Oh, cut it out. Are you,
what are you?
Listen,
I bet you're one of them.
Ignorant man.
Are you a Methodist?
Ever been, Phil, would you get him?
All right, okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, both of you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
Flashback!
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show, and our email address, we ain't got one, do we? Why'd I say email address? What I meant to say is our website is philhendryshow.com. You can go to our website. We have no email address. We don't read mail. And it's just it's not even a rule. It's an idiosyncrasy. It's a character flaw that I have. I don't read mail. I don't read listener mail. I'm not interested in listener mail. And I throw it away. I throw all of it in the garbage. It isn't that I don't love you. It isn't that I don't appreciate your patronage or your listenership. It's that people who write letters, I've always found people who write letters to radio personalities, they're borderline, man. I mean, they really, God, how do I say this and be nice? Like, you know, short bus, adult education, you know what I mean? Like adult classes, but not adult classes because you want to get your GED. Like maybe you need to talk one more time to, on an outpatient basis only, the doctor.
I wrote a letter to Phil Hendry,
and I find it odd. I find it oddball. Like, for instance, writing letters to anybody, you know, fan mail. Have you ever written any fan mail, Craig? Ever written any fan mail? Well, who'd you write to, Melissa? Bruce Springsteen? I said the name Bruce Springsteen. She flipped me off. Okay, two pieces of fan mail to two different great personalities. I want to find out who. Write it down. Let me know, Mike. Mike's in there talking to Gretchen. She called and bugged him again.
Are you coming home earlier tonight?
No, honey. I work till 10 every night.
God damn it. We're newly married. We're freshly married.
Oh, now I got the finger from Schaefer. So now I've gotten the finger from... So you wrote to Dustin Hoffman, and you wrote to Johnny Frost from K-Rock? Who's John Frost? Is he still on there? You wrote a fan letter to John Frost? I bet you the cat's name is Jack Frost and changed it to John so that people won't think he's doing shtick. He's the production director? I wrote a fan letter once to Sam Riddle when I was a kid, and that was it. And I know nobody here knows who he is. He was a disc jockey, big boss jock when I was a kid growing up in Los Angeles in the 60s. And I wrote a letter to him once saying, it wasn't a fan letter. It was a letter saying that I thought he was a slob for not backing up Sonny Bono when he got thrown out of a restaurant for wearing a fur vest. For wearing a hair shirt. It actually happened. Sonny Bono got pitched out of a restaurant in Hollywood for wearing a hair shirt or something, or beating himself with ropes. And I don't know. I'd read that Sam Riddle was there and should have backed him up, and he didn't. Now, my man here, Schaefer, says you once wrote to the former program director at KLOS for not renewing Bob Coburn's contract. You applauded them for that, right, Schaefer? Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, he's nodding his head vigorously. You wrote a piece of fan mail to the program director applauding them for not... I know, you're a big Coburn fan. Chafe's a huge Coburn fan, as we all are. Talk about a guy that has survived the radio wars, the verities and the balderdash of this business, Bob Coburn. Yay. Good man. Class act. I met him once. I met him once at a... It was a, I was backstage at the Universal for a concert featuring Ed Polsky. I don't even know who the guy was anymore. You know, it was some band, the John Butcher Axis. Ever heard of that band? Yeah, John Butcher Axis. And I was on stage. I actually introduced this band. And then I went backstage. There were a lot of disc jockeys from different stations. And Bob Coburn, what is his name? I'm kidding. Bob Coburn was there. And I said, hello, how are you doing? And he grunted a greeting to me and then was helped to the car. And I always remembered that. Now, Bob was doing fine. Didn't he get pneumonia or something, some sickness, some ailment? He was very ill for a while. Had some, it was just a chest cold or something, but it lingered for like 3 years. Some problem there. Well, the reason why I bring all of this up is why. Oh, yeah, the fan mail thing. We don't really solicit it, and we don't really respond to it, and we don't solicit email. Maybe we should. Maybe it's a mistake we're making. Maybe it's something that some of you may be saying, boy, your show blows so vigorously that any and all input you could use. Well, that could very well be, but we'll go to our grave going down this particular path. No email, no fan mail. It's not that we don't love you. It is that we don't care. So in other words, I appreciate you listening, but no, I don't really care what it is you have to say. And I say that with great respect, but you listen and enjoy, and we'll do the show. And what you've got to say to me about anything that we do here is irrelevant. And the same with me. What I have to say about you and what you do with your life is completely irrelevant. It's even more irrelevant than what you got to say to me. I just sit here and I do this crap, and I get out of here, and I pray to Jesus that 10 o'clock arrives quickly, and then I get out of here. And so this has no bearing on you whatsoever. So when you write me a letter, as irrelevant as that is, this crap's even more irrelevant. So now we know where we're at, okay? Do I appreciate your patronage? You better believe it. Do I thank you for buying our CD? Oh, my God, I can't even begin to tell you how thankful I am that you've purchased our CD at philhenryshow.com. Only $23.50, $3.50 shipping and handling. All the proceeds go to my friend's place. Yes, I'm appreciative of that. Am I appreciative of the overall support that you lend to broadcasting in general and radio in general? Yes, I am. Do I care beyond that what you have to say? Of course not. Of course I don't. What kind of a guy would that make me? That'd make me a nice guy. No, it's just, it doesn't mean anything. And as a result, you know, save your breath. Go to a PTA meeting. Talk to your kids. Take out the trash. Do your nails. Wear that new beret for your bald head. That's what I'm doing tonight. I've got a beret on my big, fat, bald head. Go out and work on the car. Do something that is going to help this world. Don't sit down and write me a fan letter. Because if it was legal only, I'd go to your house, and I'd put the barrel behind the ear, and I'd blow your brains out of your head, probably flying out of your eyes. With the barrel behind the ear, I would think that's where your brains would go, wouldn't it? Yeah, if it was legal, that's what I would do to you for writing me or any radio personality fan mail. I'd assassinate you, execution style. But since it's illegal, I can't do that. So all I can do is I encourage you to get a life, get a brisk, fresh, full-bodied, full-flavored, well-hung life. Go out and enjoy it to the best of your ability. Have some kids or not. Get a hobby or don't. Go to a ball game. Go to a dog show. Take a walk in the park. Don't write me or any other slob on the radio any fan mail, because it's only going to get tossed, in my case anyway, directly into the garbage. And they take great pains over here at Premier and at KFI in Los Angeles. They're always giving me my listener mail, and I feel so bad because I take it all and I throw it in the garbage can. And I say, why do you do this? And the person who gives it to me looks so disappointed, like, oh my God, what did I do? You didn't do anything wrong. It's fine. Thank you. And I throw it away. And that included that refund from, what was it? DirecTV. Bill Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to mention our house, but I want to ask a question. Do I have a fairly youthful sounding voice? Do I? I'm 47. I think I've got it. And God, I hope to God that I never start to sound old. And I'm saying this as with as much kindness as I can muster, because when I was a kid, I used to watch George Putnam, who did a local TV newscast here in Los Angeles. And he had a full-bodied, vigorous voice. In fact, the Ted Baxter character on Mary Tyler Moore was based on him. And he used to stand there, George Putnam, see you at 10, see you then, the American flag flying. And he was looking at it. And now I listen to him on the radio, and he's like, and the American flag flying proudly over the...
Yes, George, how are you?
I'm doing good, honey. How are you?
I don't know what it is that the teeth are loose in the mouth. I don't know what it is, and it's cruel of me to say, but I just, because it's there but for the grace of God. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen. Stephanie Edwards, you know, from the Lucky commercials, she used to be just, you know, this is bad. But I swear to God, it was like, Lucky, it's a great deal. Now she's like, Lucky, it's a hell of a thing. What, is there something, do the vocal cords begin to atrophy? Is, you know what I'm saying? Because I heard George Putnam, who is a great voice and a tremendous local personality in many ways. George Putnam, see you at 10, see you then. And one day on his show, he had Jonathan Winters, who's a hysterically funny man. And George was laughing, and he was like, I'll tell you something, Jonathan. So in other words, he was laughing so hard. And then you just heard...
This is the emergency broadcast system. Putnam is in a pool of bile, liver bile.
All right. Sorry. I got out of bed this morning, about 6:30, with the kids and with my wife, Maria. Today is moving day, day two of moving days. We got up and began running about. You see, there's one thing when the movers come, sure they get the furniture, sure they get the boxes of cups and saucers, but they don't get that pair of tweezers that was left behind the couch. They don't get the cans of Fresca that were in the refrigerator. They don't get the hat, the baseball hats that are in the closet. Little odds and ends. The food in the refrigerator I spent all morning putting into coolers and putting into the styrofoam different coolers and things like that. Went all the way over to the house and dropped all of that stuff off as we awaited the electrician who was going to do some new plug-in in the garage. And then, of course, the continuing problem with Pacific Bell. When they tell you that you have service, they don't mean you really have service. See, when they tell you that you've got service to the house, what that means is it's not in the house, it's up to the house, but then you got to get it in there. So I ain't got no telephone service. So I stood around all day in the t-shirt and in the jeans, wearing the boots, and we were going back and forth and this and that, lugging things up and down the stairways. I've slept probably a total of, I'd say, a good 10 hours over the last 2 to 3 nights. I came directly to work, and I haven't had a shower in 2 days. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I haven't bathed in 2 days with Gary Moore next on the CBS Television Network. No, seriously. I haven't bathed in 2 days with Regis Philbin. Who wants to marry a guy who's a millionaire but doesn't believe in bathing? How about that? Now, there's a show that's going to hit. That's a hit. Because then you can see just how far. Who wants to marry a multimillionaire? That only showed you a certain level of degradation. You want to see how far women can really degrade themselves. Who wants to marry a millionaire who doesn't bathe? Now that is a show. That's not a show? All right. Okay, thanks a lot, Melissa. I'll turn that crap off. So yeah, we're in the house, and it was one of those things. And I told you yesterday, I was telling you how I'm in fear of the Well, I'll get into it a little bit later on, but in fear of the cost associated with the pools and the $8,000 sofa and all that stuff. But I yesterday was fantasizing that maybe we've got a poltergeist problem like the film, you know, where I can scream into a guy's face, you move the headstones, but you didn't move the bodies, that kind of a thing. And then we were fantasizing about Love Canal. Today, I was kind of hoping I'd see blood oozing down the walls, something like that. Some kind of a sign like that, you know, so I could get myself out of the deal. So I could eventually finally say to myself, you know, you're clear. I just like to walk down the hall and hear... Just once, as I'm walking through the building. Wasn't that in Amityville Horror where the guy is, you know, the guy's being chased out of the house to the sound of...
Shut up, Jew! Shut up, Jew! Shut up, Jew!
Starring Ted Bessel? So, that's the Amityville Horror. Shut up, Jew. God!
Get out, Jew!
So we were hoping for the river of blood flowing down the hallway. We were hoping for the axe in the chest of the groundskeeper. We were hoping for the honey, I'm home, or here's Johnny. We were hoping for any number of those. And let me tell you something, the day is still young. It could still happen. Maria will walk into me there, that little studio that we have. So I'm typing some nondescript crap, some non sequiturs, and she walks in and I give her that kind of that arched eyebrow look. And then I'm, you know, chasing her through the house with an axe. That's fantastic. You know your marriage is working. You know it's pumping on all cylinders. You're chasing your wife through the house with an axe. Something to be proud of, something to work toward. You think there's a problem in that home? They're in this big-ass house, gorgeous. What were they doing? They were caretaking the house in The Shining? Cut to, he's chasing her through the house with an axe, and it's always been something that's fascinated me. It was a hotel. They were caretaking the hotel in the wintertime, and I guess it was a summer retreat as opposed to, hey, skiing, anybody ever heard of it? And you guys could keep it open in the winter, but I guess that's a little too tough, huh? Why, inaccessible roadways? Forget skiing? What? It's Colorado in the winter. Blows the premise. I got you. Who wrote that book? Who? Stephen King? You know, we're on in Maine. Somebody roll by Stephen's house, if you don't mind, and watch your driving while you're doing it, and ask him, what's the story with the snowbound hotel, huh? Skiing! Skiing! Snow lifts! It's too flat? Oh, I got you. Yeah, Denver, Colorado. That's flat. When Scatman Crothers flew into town, he was flying into Denver. He was flying into Logan International because he was getting some vibe from the kid. And by the way, if there's one part of the history of African Americans in cinema that is defies description, it's this area. Black men and white women, no, 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 no. We didn't see that until very, very, very recently. Black men and women together romantically. No, 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 no. Didn't see that until very recently, really. And even today, all we see are the sitcoms of black folks. Really serious African-American dramatic treatments on television. We're still, what do you figure, another 50 years out? Because, you know, they're still pretty white. But they've never had a problem with this pairing. The older black guy and the little white kid. Going back to Bojangles and Shirley Temple, all the way on up to Scatman Crothers and that kid with the red rum. It's always the black guy and the little white kid, because somehow they got some... With that freaking finger. I got a new... You know what? I got a grapefruit knife, kid. Hold that finger up one more time.
Red rum, red rum.
So what's the story with that? Forget about interracial marriage and interracial, you know, William Shatner and what's-her-face, Uhura. Remember when Kirk and Uhura had that lip lock? They did the big lip lock on Star Trek. That was, oh, baby. They canceled it in about 15 southern markets. Nat King Cole and Kirk, they all went out, man, within a week. Every green and purple alien in the universe he can tongue kiss, but forget about Uhura. You can't do that. So finally they did that. And the older black guy with the little white kid dancing down the steps in the Good Ship Lollipop or the Red Rum, Red Brum. No wonder he got a freaking axe in the chest. Just something to break up the monotony of that whole thing. The hell was I talking about? I was talking about something else, and now I'm in the show. Oh, I'm at the house. Yeah, we're moving today. What have I got? Red Rum and Scatman Crothers getting an axe to the head. We're moving into a house. And I haven't bathed, and that's the extent of that. There's more to tell you, and I will tell you at the a little bit later on in the program. But it's going pretty good, and it's a very traumatic thing. And the cat, we couldn't find the freaking cat today. You know what? This is a true story about cats. Cats would rather you move out and they stay in the house and have new people come in. I've heard this. It's true. The cat has no loyalty to you. You know this. You people who think cats have loyalty to you. Yeah, you're right, Mike. For a minute there, I had Alzheimer's disease. That's that New York Yankee who slowly got retarded, according to R.C. Collins. To which I replied, the only New York Yankee who's slowly gotten retarded was Daryl Strawberry. And then R.C. laughed. So I said that I was at the house and the thing happened. I can't remember what the hell it is I'm doing. I do have Alzheimer's disease. All right, I may have a youthful voice, but my mind is shot. It's worse than Putnam's. Oh, the cat, the damn cat, yeah. So anyway, the cat, I can't find the bloody thing. And it's a true story. Cats would rather stay in the house and have new people move in than be moved. We had to move the cat today, and it was all we could do to find it. The whole house has been moved. The furniture's gone. There's nowhere for the freaking thing to hide. I couldn't find it. There's no furniture anywhere. Where's a cat going to hide? Underneath a leaf or something? Well, the kids came home. They found her, like, within 2 seconds. I guess I'm stupid. Turns out the cat was in the very same room that I was trying to take a nap in on a sleeping bag on the floor because all the beds were gone. That was my day. How was yours? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry, The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, and you can also log onto our website, philhendryshow.com, and pick up the Best of the Hendry Show 99 CD. I don't know that I got, I don't have email because I've ripped the computer out of the wall at my house, and I'm transporting it to our new house, and it's like in 68 different pieces on the floor, so I'm not getting my precious email. Like I can not be away from it for 3 days. I couldn't. If it was up to me, man, I'd talk about taking a fire axe right after Scatman Crothers, then my computer. Those two. In that order. First Scatman, then my computer, and then Jack Nicholson to round it all out. Talk about chasing somebody through a house with an axe. However, I don't know how much we are currently where we're at in terms of the totals, but we're about $95,000 raised for the people at my friend's place. So keep it coming. Thank you very much, you sweet people. And we'll keep moving. Best $95,840.50. Where'd you get that, Mike? They just call? Oh, you just got it this morning? Okay, great. $95,840. So we have slowly, what are we making, about 50 bucks a day or something? We're selling about a CD a day, I think. You know, it goes to a good cause, but that doesn't usually motivate people. What motivates them is, do they want the CD? Do they want the material? And is it accessible? And frankly, only having it available on the internet is insanity because not everybody's got a computer. We were about 95 even yesterday. We're doing about a grand a day, something like that. I don't know what that is, 50 CDs a day, which is fine. But the facts are these. People do not own, not everybody owns a computer. And secondly, you can't, if you don't have a computer, you can't buy it. So we're not in store. We don't have the 800 line. And I've bellyached about this ad nauseum. I'm not going to keep going into it. It's just I wish after 3 years in Los Angeles that we had some better support for the sale of that CD, but we don't. There's just certain things will never change. That's okay. I'm okay with it. I understand that we're at this, you know, you can only complain so much. It's not going to change. So that's why we have ended doing the CD. This will be the last CD you can get. This is the last Phil Hendry CD, for what it's worth, that there will ever be. Next year, we're going to do something else to raise money for my friend's place. A one-man show. Some tap dancing, me and Bojangles will get back together. Me, I'll get in some blackface, little white kid. How about me and that Haley Osmont kid? I'll be in blackface, and he and I can do a soft shoe. Give him a fire axe. We're ready. Who is the kid from The Shining? And what's he doing now? Him and that Haley Osment ought to get together. Well, talk about a couple of spooky kids. Holy God. That kid from Shining, you know what his name is? I don't know, but he was the kid with the red rum. And that Haley Osment with, I see dead people. With the nose turned up and that whacked out mug of his. You're ready to run screaming from the theater. They're just a couple of really happy kids to be around. How'd you like to have a kid who's... You know what? Kids are not generally depressed. I mean, if one is, then you have to do something about it, and that's the necessity of being a parent. Corey Haim? Bull crap. It was Corey Feldman? Oh, you don't know? Corey Feldman? Maybe it was. I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to jump on you. Corey Feldman is just so extreme. I mean, wasn't he in The Burbs? I think of Corey Feldman as a comic actor. Maybe it was Corey Feldman. He was just a little punky kid then, wasn't he? So how old is he now? He's about 30, isn't he? He's like pushing 28? Okay, so maybe it was him. But kid's a depressed kid. You don't want to be around that. And when he's walking around going, red rum, and I see dead people, you know what, man? I draw the line at that. Game's over. I put him in a sack and drop him in the river. No. No child psychology. No, darling. We into the trunk of that car and into the... You remember Susan Smith? There's a couple of... All right, she was a bad person, but you could apply that in a good way with the right kid, is all I'm saying. Start with Corey Feldman and Haley Osment, and then that's it. And then your troubles are over.
I see dead people.
Really?
What's that?
Well, this is a gun, and... So I did a really bad thing this past weekend. I did a horrible thing. In fact, I've been doing it for 5 weekends in a row. My wife teaches and coaches a small kids basketball team called the Jazz. Danny Lloyd, we got the kid's name, it was Danny Lloyd. Okay. Where's he now? Well, he's probably having a life, and he's probably enjoying his life. He's probably enjoying the money that he made off of The Shining. I'm sure his parents put it into a trust, and he's doing very, very well. Thank you very, very much. He doesn't need Paul Peterson. He doesn't need intervention. He's not on drugs. He probably owns a nice business, maybe car repair, something up in the woods someplace, like maybe Denver. Or the possibility is that his parents stole it all. I don't know. But I'm willing to believe that he's doing a very, very good thing with his life right now. And he doesn't need Hollywood and he doesn't need us. And if that's the case, God bless you, Danny. Just get out and do your thing, babe. I hear they need a innkeeper up in that. Okay, anyway. So I did a rotten thing. Maria coaches the kids' basketball. 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. Well, guess what? They don't keep score at that level. You see, if you keep score, well, then the kid's going to turn into red rum, and he's going to want to see dead people. So you can't keep score. Not when it's 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. They have their little jerseys, and Maria's teaching them zone defense. My wife used to play basketball in high school and at the college level. Maria Sanchez, UC Davis, baby. She was the class of 19. So she's teaching the kids zone. She's teaching the kids fundamentals of zone, passing the ball, very important things. If you're going to learn how to play basketball, first thing you want to know how to do is pass the basketball. You want to know how to dribble it and pass it. Dribble it and pass. Forget about shooting it. Dribble it and pass it. Then zone. Then you learn how to shoot. That's how you teach kids how to play basketball. And you do it in gradations. You do it in gradual steps. Well, they don't keep score at this level. Well, guess what? I keep score. And I keep score sitting on the bench next to Maria. She wants me to keep track of rebounding. Well, I said, well, as long as I'm keeping track of rebounding, you know what else I'm going to do? What? I'm going to keep track of all the baskets that are being hauled in, okay, if you don't mind. And after keeping score, the Jazz, which is the team my wife coaches, 5-1, baby, on the season. All right. 5-1, 4-game, 2-game, I don't know, a couple of game winning streak. They're kicking ass. They're throwing the ball in the hoop. They're rebounding like mad people. They're playing good, strong defense. They pounded some team 2 weeks ago, 34-4. It was gorgeous. And I'm keeping score. And the kids are coming up to me going, Mr. Hendry, what's the score now? It's 20-18. You guys have got a rebound, man. We're 2 points ahead. You turn the ball over now. You know what's going to happen. Yes, sir, we do. Okay, then get out there and let's do it. And that's what I do, and I get a big kick out of it. Well, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to keep score. God forbid that the kid should know how well he's doing and get disappointed in himself if he loses and want to go out and try harder the next week. So it's a very small coterie of parents and friends, but I want all of you who are listening to know I'm keeping score. And we're 5-1. The only team to beat us were the Lakers on a lucky last-ditch basket because we turned the ball over in the final minute. Thank you. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.